The Kalamazoo Film Society is set for 2020 with a new slate of films for this month. And I'm thrilled again to visit with Mike Marchak. And for the first time, I'd like to welcome Madeline Cimini to WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here
again. Thank you, Kara.
I'd say the first thing that comes to mind is that the Oscar nominations were announced. Televised ceremony is
February 9th,
so coming up in just a few weeks. So, and as I said off air, it seems like arguing about movies is one of the last refuges of people who like to argue at this point. Not safe in other areas, but oh, is it ever fun to go back and forth about movies and why you love them.
And what's always interesting for me is I learn more talking about things with other people, and I think, oh, I missed that, or I understand why someone would say that I didn't necessarily see. It doesn't change greatly, but I like getting the other perspective, because I'm a very emotional film goer, and sometimes I get so wrapped up that I might miss something. So I like getting other people's perspectives.
I do too, because, you know, it gives me a little insight into how their preferences and thinking works too, through us, you know, a topic that involves so much creativity. There's ways to pick out something completely different from another person about a movie. Mike, you're nodding.
Oh, no, certainly. I agree completely. The filmmaker themselves will put in things sometimes, you know, in a very hidden way, you know, and wants you, to the viewer, to pick it out. So, sure. I mean, that happens quite a bit.
I'm thinking you would probably recommend multiple viewings then.
Oh, yes.
Movies, because you end up picking out so much, something completely different the next time through.
Well, a good example of that, and we'll talk about it later, is 1917, because of the tricks involved to film it, you know. So then after seeing the story for the first time, you may go back and try and pick out the tricks that were involved. So, but you shouldn't concentrate on that. You should just stay with the film. But anyhow, you know, but subsequent viewings will do that.
So back to the Oscar nominations. Were you surprised, disappointed? What were some of your reactions?
I'm always disappointed every year, but, you know, and then you'll see these articles, which I'm sure many of you have read, about the snubs, and some of the snubs I think are accurate, other snubs maybe not so much, but they'll never get it completely right, so you just hope they get as close as they can. And I must say, this year I think was a great year for films, so there was a lot to have there, and they got quite a few. So, I mean, for the most part, I think I would agree.
Parasite was one of your favorites, if I recall.
Oh, yes, my number one favorite.
And I was delighted that Honeyland, my number one film of the year, was nominated. It was one of the most amazing experiences, film-going experiences I've had in a long time. It's brutal and gentle, life-affirming. I will never see a bee again that I don't think of this movie. I thought it was amazing. Another documentary for Sama, about a young woman in Aleppo, and over the course of 4 or 5 years, what happens to her family, and the city. It's streaming on Frontline for people if they haven't seen it. I was delighted to see that, because I thought that was another amazing, amazing film.
Madeline, yes. Since this is our first chance to talk, and you're here as a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society, when did you get involved in, when did you decide to take the step to be involved in a film society at all?
Well, I moved to Kalamazoo in the end of 1987 to work at the old Upjohn Company, and that was about the time that the Bijou had closed, and a group of volunteers got together to form the Film Society. I was always a movie fan. I used to very, very carefully put my $3 aside, because I didn't want anyone to have to break a 20. And then it became $4, and then $5. And then in 2003, I became a member on the board. But I've been a movie fan for a long, 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 long time. I was a fat, ugly kid, so books, movies, television shows, The Twilight Zone, Leonard Bernstein's Young People's Concerts, and music. Motown and then the British Invasion was always very important to me. And the wonderful thing about films is they were able to, it was an intersection of all of that.
You must have a vivid imagination, imaginative life, or an inner world that was fueled by movies and
it
music.
Certainly filled some lonely hours. And it was interesting, one of my favorite filmmakers, Pedro Almodovar, made that comment about how films and the creative process, although I don't understand that, but film filled some lonely hours for him. Like, oh my God, thank you for taking that and then using that to make his wonderful, wonderful films.
Anyone can join the Kalamazoo Film Society. Information is at calfilmsociety.net.
And on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
Where you can keep track of the latest slate of films, which, shall we, unless we had any more comments about Oscars or recent film news.
Well, certainly we have comments about Oscars. I mean, there were some things I think they did this year that I was really happy to see. One, in the Best Actor category, they gave a nomination to Antonio Banderas. Now, he was in the latest Pedro Almodovar film that Madeline was referencing earlier. It's called Pain and Glory. It's a career role of his life. And that he got nominated was enough. It's such a crowded category this year because of the performances. But I think he hasn't done anything previously as good as this. So if you get a chance to see it, it's terrific.
And Almodovar, Antonio Banderas has been in a number of his films, and he said that he feels that he channels him. And I just thought that was interesting. I have not seen the film yet, but just the trailers, I thought, I think I could see that. I've never met either one of them, obviously, but it makes perfect sense.
Did you end up, you know, when the nominations came out, did you recognize just about everything? And had many of the films been sponsored here in Kalamazoo by the Film Society?
A number of them that we had brought. We'd brought a total of 39 films last year.
Wow.
And a number of them were the small little films, like even the foreign films. Well, for Sama that she mentioned, that Madeline
Honeyland.
Mentioned earlier. Even something like Jojo Rabbit, even though it's coming back, you know, starting again this Friday, I think, right? So you have a chance to see it if you didn't. I mean, it's Scarlett Johansson's year because she got a nomination for Best Actress for Marriage Story, and yet she got a nomination for Best Supporting Actress for Jojo Rabbit. So,
and that was a film that I initially thought, ugh, why do I want to see this? And even the trailer,
Just for listeners' sake, it's set in Nazi Germany.
Yes.
You're like,
right. And it's told through the story of a young boy's eyes.
An imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler. And I thought, ugh. But I saw Taika Waititi on one of the late shows. And then when we brought it, I thought, okay, I liked it so much more. And the 10-year-old actor, Ronan Griffin Davies, is amazing. And it's very touching, and it's funny, but also I cried. And I'm an emotional film goer, you know.
Yes.
No surprise there.
So laughs and tears, it has both.
Yeah. And Sam Rockwell is great in it.
Yeah, he's very good.
But the arc of the story and the little moments in that film. And I'd like to mention another one that was not nominated, but Tel Aviv on Fire. What a little gem of a film that was, about kind of telenovela in Palestine. And again, little moments that tie the story together. they're not banging you on the head that this is the message, this is what we want to tell you. And it takes you to a place I've never been. But that was another one that I thought, thank you, Celebration Cinema, for bringing that, because otherwise Kalamazoo would not have seen that.
You heard about Tel Aviv on Fire when, I think back in October, when these conversations got started with True. Mike and others from the Kalamazoo yeah. Film Society, and it's been very fun to start this regular visit with the Kalamazoo Film Society yeah. here on WMUK, because things never stop. There's always a constant stream of interesting pictures to see, and behind the scenes you're working with all kinds of distributors and studios, and finding ways to make sure Kalamazoo has access True. To films that sometimes go under the radar, sometimes just you feel strongly need to be seen.
True. And it's sometimes surprising that you think, oh my goodness, why isn't this film playing more widely? When I first started on the board, The Pianist, my goodness, that did not play in Kalamazoo until the Film Society brought it. And we had sellouts, which was wonderful. But that was very surprising.
You mentioned A Celebration, which is the theater in Portage at Crossroads Mall, and we've touched on it before, but for anyone tuning in for the first time, this is a partnership you have that allows the Film Society to sponsor these yeah. films and bring in 39, as opposed to what it was way back in the day, more like
10 or 12.
Yeah.
12, yeah.
And they have sponsored indie film series in Lansing and Grand Rapids, so they're connected and they know what's out there. I think it's just wonderful to have an enthusiastic and knowledgeable partner.
There's one other thing I wanted to point out about this year's Oscar nominations. There's a something that's kind of started last year, but even more emphasized this year, and that's the emergence of the foreign film. In the past, when there would be a great foreign film out there, it would get a nomination for Best Foreign Film, and that would be it. Sometimes an actor or actress would break through in one of the best categories, but only if they've done English-speaking films, too, as like Antonio Banderas this year. But last year, with the film Roma, it not only was nominated for foreign film and eventually won, it was also nominated for Best Picture, Best Direction, and Best Screenplay. So now you're seeing the foreign film step out of the shadows and start to get some of the nominations in the bigger categories besides foreign film. Now this year, Parasite even exceeded that, because they ended up with 6 nominations this year. I think they got it for editing and I think cinematography too. But anyhow, it started to get not only those, but also like what Roma did last year with Best Picture, you know, Best Direction. And then it didn't get an acting, but that was surprising that didn't happen, because in some of the critics' lists were the two esteemed critics at the New York Times, Manola Dargis and A.O. Scott, would always put their wish list of their nominees. And when they got to the supporting actress category, Manola Dargis had 4 of the women from Parasite out of the 5 nominations. So, I mean, it shows you the impact the film had. But it's a perfect film, in my estimation. It's got everything you would need. It starts out as a comedy and then changes course. So anyhow, if you haven't seen it, see it.
How are people can't see it here right now?
No, we had it for about 3 weeks, though, which was a long run. And maybe somebody will bring it back now, as maybe if it wins something, other than... chances are it won't win Best Picture, but it'll certainly win Best Foreign. Is it nominated for foreign film? I'm not sure. But you would think. That's what happened at the Golden Globes. It was nominated for Best Picture and for foreign film. They gave it to him for foreign film. But
Bong Joon-ho.
It's Bong Joon-ho.
Joon-ho.
Yeah.
Yes, is the director who I will memorize his name.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, knowing Helmers from outside the U.S. is becoming more and more common.
Sure.
And you saw Snowpiercer, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, I was impressed when I listened and you made the comment that, oh, you didn't know so much about, oh no, you know a lot about film. And Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, you mentioned that, and I'm like, yes!
Well, I was attending a few of those Kalamazoo Film Society screenings back in the day.
Back in the day.
Well, the website, again, is calfilmsociety.net. You'll see what's on offer right now and how to get tickets right there, as well as how to join the society if you are looking for a way to meet people who love film.
If people watch the Golden Globes and saw Bong Joon-ho accept the award for Best Foreign Film, he started it out with the one phrase. He said, if people can just get over the 5-inch barrier of subtitles, a whole new world of film will open up for them.
That's a pithy way of saying, you know, there's a bigger world out there. I haven't seen Parasite myself, but now I'm so excited to check it out. Let's talk about what's currently showing. The Kalamazoo Film Society is sponsoring a couple of films that were recognized when the Oscar nominations came out.
Certainly, especially 1917. It had a big run at the Golden Globes. Our two films right now are 1917 and Uncut Gems. We can talk about both. I'd like to start with the one people maybe haven't seen as much, and that's Uncut Gems. It stars an actor that probably made some of the dumbest films of all time, but I think he decided he wants to be a serious actor. He's done some serious work in the past. I'm talking about Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler did a film in 2002 called Punch Drunk Love with Paul Thomas Anderson, and with that, he tried to have a more serious, dramatic role. It wasn't just the silly films that he was making previously, but in this film, I don't think he garners a laugh the whole film.
Not at all.
No, if anything, his world is coming down on him, and he's trying to just stay above water.
He's not a very likable character, and it takes place in the Diamond District in New York, and I know nothing about that. I know nothing about sports betting and gambling. And some of the people in the film, I thought, my God, these look like the guys that hang around with Rudy Giuliani. And after I saw the film, I read an article in Time or The New Yorker asking, is this real? Is this what it's like? And it turns out that they interviewed people who work in the district, some of whom are extras in the film, and they said, oh, no, this is what it's like. You know, the rappers come in, big-time sports personas.
Kevin Garnett, has a big role.
And I thought, oh, my God. And then there's one scene in a car that one of the interviewees said, oh, that would never happen. They added that for drama. The movie is, I think, a bit too long. Adam Sandler is amazing. He has redeemed himself for all of the silliness in years past. It's difficult to watch, and there are some big surprises, or at least they were. It was a surprise to me.
Well, there's a lot of tension. I mean, you're tense all the way through. And actually, the same could be said for 1917, too, but in a different way.
Does Uncut Gems take place in a single night or sort of over a period of weeks? Or
it looks like a period of a week, maybe, I think.
In a short period of time, not much longer than that.
Right. So he's up to his neck in owing someone paying off someone else who then you have to re...
Kind of a grifter, scammer. He's always looking for the next big thing. And again, not knowing about sports betting and how much money, and there are some, you know, it starts out in Africa where someone finds a gem. I thought, well, that's interesting, and that gem, this opal, carries through the whole story. It's a world, as I said, I know nothing about, but.
Well, he's a character that he's an itinerant gambler, and he owes everybody, and everybody is coming to collect at once.
Wow.
His marriage has fallen apart. And this is all just backstory. I mean, I'm not giving away anything.
But he has a girlfriend who loves him.
Yeah. It's showing three times a day, I think, at Celebration. And you can find the full schedule online at calfilmsociety.net. I'm speaking with Madeline Cimini and Mike Marchak of the Kalamazoo Film Society. Shall we move on to 1917? This is a period film, obviously.
It is.
World War One.
Mm-hmm. It's directed by Sam Mendes, who had a grandfather that would tell him stories about the war. This happened to be one of the stories. So this is an accurate story, too, about it. It's the story of a mission in a war setting. Now, you've seen mission stories before, and you watch them from afar. But in this case, you've probably read about the technique he used in shooting the story. He used what they call the single shot or the continuous take, okay? Now, it wasn't a continuous take. There were places where the edits are, and this is probably what some people will want to look and try and find. But it appears to be one continuous take. And you're running with these two guys. So you feel like you're on the mission with them. You're running down the trench right behind them or in front of them, depending on the shot. And everything is just so well set up. I mean, he pulls off a feat. Now, if you're going to go see it, and this interests you at all, I recommend you go to the big screen to see it, because this is where your friend tells you that it's so just as good on the little screen. It is not. And you want to be in the largest screen you can find. We were in number one yesterday. And that's the effect this film has on the viewer. The audience becomes part of it.
The tension begins at frame one. And when you see these young men, and they are young men, barely able to shave, and the trenches are narrow, and you see them running through. I'm an emotional film goer. I cried. I was just brought into the story. And the fact that Sam Mendes did this in honor of his grandfather, Peter Jackson did another film, They Shall Not Grow Old, also in honor of his grandfather who fought during World War One. This was archival footage that he refilmed and then colorized. That was one of my favorite films ever. Mm. And the fact that they're honoring their grandfathers. And you see young men and how in an instant something changes.
The only way to make a film like this is to plan and plan some more and plan everything from start to finish before you get the camera out.
And even the clouds, after I saw it, I read a story on how they filmed and some of the things, the issues that they had to face. And one time, it just rained for 2 or 3 days.
Weather,
yeah. Exactly.
It was a brutal war. Almost 17 million people lost their lives. And the lines never moved more than 50 miles. And they really bring that out in the course of this story, because they have to cross no man's land. In a way, it reminds you of All Quiet on the Western Front and even the great Stanley Kubrick film, Paths of Glory, with Kirk Douglas. Great anti-war film set in World War One, and I think this one could be considered a great anti-war film, too.
I agree. Yeah, so. I agree.
I'm speaking with Madeline Cimini and Mike Marchak of the Kalamazoo Film Society, which invites you to visit their website, calfilmsociety.net, see when the shows are running at Celebration Cinema, and look
Facebook.
Into a membership, and on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook, sorry.
You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I'll remember that, too. Is that where a lot of the upcoming films are posted? Do you give teasers?
Well, our key ones now. We don't know what's ahead because, you know, it's constantly in flux. You know what you want, what you're trying to bring in, finding screens. You know, sometimes at this time of the year, I mentioned this probably previously, you get swallowed up by the Christmas blockbusters and they gobble up screens everywhere.
Yeah.
And you have these commitments with the distributor if you want to show a Joker or a Star Wars or a Jumanji, you know. So And Joker, actually, we didn't talk about Joker a little bit, but
we should. Well, it garnered the most nominations.
It did garner that, and there's a movement on behalf of the Academy to nominate a film that a lot of people see. Now, Joker did almost $1 billion in revenue in global receipts.
Wow!
And who knows what it's making now in DVD? But anyhow, they want to try and, instead of having obscure films, they want something out there to have the view, because they're worried about viewers coming in. They keep track of how many people watch the Oscars, you know, so they want something. So anyhow, to prepare for this show, I hadn't seen Joker, and I saw it about two nights ago. It's something. I mean, I got to admit. I mean, this Todd Phillips, who did The Hangovers, did a film. Joaquin Phoenix is just immersed. He plays these disturbed characters so well, and you know, it reminded me a little bit of Taxi Driver, but without the mother that is delusional. But actually, he was in a film last year that was very similar—not similar because there wasn't a DC comic lore—but he played another disturbed individual with mother issues in a film called "I Was Never Really Here," and I think it's streaming on Amazon right now. And I think it was one of the best films of last year. So I'm not surprised at him getting all the attention. And when you watch him in Joker, he's terrific. You know, scary, but terrific.
I haven't seen it.
I'm not surprised.
Heath Ledger was my Joker, and he's the standard for me. I have not seen this, but I did see an interview on 60 Minutes with Joaquin Phillips, and he's...
Well, the Joker with Heath Ledger was different, is that it dealt with the Batman story. Here, they just walk their periphery. This is like the backstory to how Arthur Fleck becomes a Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of interesting. Now you could say, well, they can take every villain and do a backstory on him, and who knows, this could go on to ad infinitum, but you hope it doesn't. But in this case, even things like cinematography and even music, I was really impressed with the music in this, and it is one of the nominees for score, I think, you know, and I always pay attention to those categories. So when you see 1917, the Thomas Newman score is terrific.
Oh, it's Thomas Newman.
Yeah, that does 19. Now, his cousin Randy does a score for Marriage Story, and he's up for that. And I can't remember what the fifth was, but I always pay attention to that category, too, when the awards come out, because for me, music becomes another character in the film, especially if it's used well.
When it's done right.
And I tell you, I think Martin Scorsese has always done music so well. And if you see The Irishman, you'll see, again, he knows how to use the power of music in telling a story.
He was the final, the last filmmaker to hire Bernard Herrmann to write a score. Speaking of Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, sure.
So if you're out there driving or listening on the radio and talking back to the radio and saying, well, I like this better than you did, or there's a way to be connected with the Kalamazoo Film Society and the members of the group, members of the board, just get in contact. Go to calfilmsociety.net and you'll have a pre-made set of folks to converse with about films.
May I add one more thing? Kelly Wittenberg teaches here, and she's also a board member, and she is going to be screening her recent work at the Kalamazoo Institute of Art next Thursday at 6:30 in their Unreal series. And her film representative has so far won 3 awards, and I'm sure it will win a few more before the end of its tour through the film festivals.
Yes, she was part of the conversation with you earlier, and Kelly said that she had just learned about winning first prize at the San Francisco Film Festival.
Yes.
So
congratulations.
That's great too. With the Kalamazoo Film Society, you'll also find fans as well as people involved in making
Dara Strauss.
Yeah, that's right.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to hope Dara comes back again.
Yeah. She's going to be back in a few days, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered our latest news from the Kalamazoo Film Society. Follow them on Facebook or at calfilmsociety.net. Philip Glass is one composer who puts his own stamp on every single
I'm a big fan.
Film he scores. Here's music from The Hours, Nicole Kidman film. Yes. And we'll hear a group called La Pietà with leader Angèle Dubois, a Canadian ensemble playing The Hours. And Mike and Madeline, please come back in a few weeks to tell us what's new with the Kalamazoo Film Society.
Well, thank by then we'll so probably much. Have the Academy Award winners
to pick apart.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's do
that. See where they missed.
I look forward to it.